Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Listen, the devil doesn't make you sin. He can tempt you to sin. And he's good at it. The devil can't read your mind, by the way. A lot of people think the devil can read your mind. He don't have that power, friends. Devil can't read your mind. But the devil reads people. There's a way that you can read people. You can see how they react to certain things. And you can get their patterns down. And you can assume that you know exactly what they're going to do in the next case. Let me give you an example. Say you go into a store and there's something there that you want to buy. And you don't want to really pay the cost for that thing. And so say it's a pawn shop. Brother Scott, we're going to buy a new guitar. We're going to a pawn shop and they've got one there. And they want $125 for it. And we know it's not worth that. We don't want to pay that. And so we go up there and we'll say, I'm going to pay that for it. You know, and so you start walking out the door and it's, whoa, come back here a minute. And so how much are you willing to pay for this? No, I don't know. I don't want to pay no $125 for it. And they'll go on and on. You'll start bickering and going on. And then you decide to leave. And the next thing you know, you're standing there. And you think, boy, I'd sure like to have that guitar. And you go back into that place. And that guy will say, I knew you'd come back for that guitar. You see what he did? He read you. He read and saw the thing that you desired. And he knew what your move was going to be. You're going to come back and get that guitar because you wanted it that bad. Listen, Satan does the same thing. He has watched the patterns of people for 6,000 years, and he knows exactly what people are going to do in any type of thing that happens. And so he's learned the temptation points that we have. And so if there's a sin that easily besets you, he'll make sure that you're in a position or some way to influence you to commit that sin because he's learned your behavior. But to blame the devil for your sin is the same thing that Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden. Do you realize that? You remember she was there and the serpent beguiled her. The Bible says she was beguiled by Satan. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Yeah, he's pointed at her. What hast thou done? What does she say? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. In other words, hold on a minute. Don't blame me. It was him. It was a serpent that did this. And so we find right away at the very first sins that enters into the world, they're pointing to somebody else. And it's been that way all these years. It's never changed. Everybody that sins wants to blame somebody else for it. What did Adam do? Adam, what did you do? The woman gave me the fruit. She did it. He wanted to blame somebody else. And that's what we do. We want to blame everybody else for our sins. Satan didn't take that fruit off that tree and put it into her mouth and push her head down and make her eat that and then cram it down her throat. He didn't do that. What did he do? He tempted her with something he knew he could entice her with. What was it? To be equal with God. To be like God. And to live forever. She could already live forever. But yet he tempted her. It was a temptation of pride. She wanted to be exalted up like God. And so he tempted her to sin. And what did she do? She sinned. Well, in the book of James, we're shown the pattern of sin. James 1, 13 through 15. James writes this. He says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But here it is, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Did you see what the Bible said? The Bible did not say every man is drawn away when the devil makes him do it. It says he's drawn away by his own lust is what causes him to sin. He's enticed. His own lust enticed him. And then when lust is conceived, that's when sin is brought forth. And sin, the Bible says, when it's finished, bring forth death. And that's always been the way it is. Ever since the first sin, death entered in this world. If it had not been for sin, nobody would ever died. There would be no disease. There'd be no problems like we have today. But because of sin, there's death. A couple of years ago, down in St. Andrew, Jamaica, there was a 22-year-old woman. speaking of the internet. And she was on Facebook and she was meeting people, men. And she met a man named Sadine Jackson. Now, I'm sorry, that was her name, Sadine Jackson. She met a 19-year-old man named Gilzine Kino. You can Google this when you get home if you want to. After talking back and forth a few times there on social media, they decided they was going to meet up. The purpose for meeting up, of course, was to have relationships together, sexual relationships. So she goes down to his place, and they have their relationships, and she decides she wants to leave. She don't want any a part of it anymore. She wants to leave. That made him very angry. This 19-year-old man took a sheet, put it over her head, bashed her face in, and stabbed her multiple times, and stuck her underneath the bed. Then he called his sister, and he told her to come over that some men had broke in and killed this woman, and she's under his bed. And so they took this lady's body, and they took it out past the house a little ways, and they buried it in the ground. Well, it come up, she was missing. They started searching. Well, they found her body in the shallow grave in his yard. And it led straight back to him. Do you know what he said when they came and asked him about it? He said, "Satan made me do it." He said that when he was stabbing her, he yelled out the name Lucifer as he stabbed her. Do you know he only is going to serve 7 years for manslaughter over this because they deemed him a schizophrenic because he used Satan's name in the crime? Listen, friends, Satan did not make him do that. It was his own carnal lust, his evil ways, his sinful nature. The truth is, while Satan is a powerful enemy, Ephesians 2 and 2 tells us he's the prince of the power of the air. He's very powerful. He really is. But he's not sovereign. God is sovereign, not Satan. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. Only Jesus does. He is not omnipotent. That means all powerful. He is not all powerful. He's bound by God for one thing. And also in your life, when it comes to you, the only power he has over you is what you allow him to have. He's bound by that. He's not all powerful. And he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. You know, people believe the devil's much like God is. God's presence is everywhere. And if you're a believer, he's inside of you. But people believe that somehow the devil is in every spot in all the world all at the same time and tempting everybody every time they sin. It's the devil. No, it's not. He's not omnipresent. And so only the Lord Jesus has all these attributes. Satan only has as much power over you as you allow him to have. And our recent revival service is a great example. From the very moment I announced that way back in the springtime, I'm telling you, Satan wanted to attack that service. I mean, it went from the very day that I announced it, he went on full-scale attack. One thing after another kept happening. I was getting discouraged. Other people was telling me, "Brother Byron, I'm discouraged." Even during the very first service of our revival, how great it was, there was something going on in the service. Satan was allowing people to have their thoughts influenced over things they thought they saw or thought they heard. And so Satan was trying to influence people. Listen, that is how Satan sifts people. He sifts you. Now, everybody's sitting here wondering, what happened? Who was it? What happened? Don't worry about it. It happens all the time. You just don't know about it. Satan sifts people. He desires to have them. If there's anything that ever is going good, if the church is going good, if things are happening, if we're striving to share the gospel, Satan's going to be in the middle of that to try to destroy it because he desires to sift us. And you better be sure he does his job good. While we may fail in our job a lot of times, Satan never fails. He does exactly what he wants to do. He continues doing it. He's got it down pat. Listen, Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to have him so he could sift him. We didn't read it tonight, but over in verse 24, just above this, the disciples had just had that wonderful supper there. Jesus had even knelt down and took his towel and girded himself with it and washed their feet and enjoyed this meal with them and told them that it was his flesh and his blood and remember this every time that they took of it. All that had happened. Then he said that one was going to betray him. And the next thing, in the middle of the service, you know what happened? The Bible said in verse 24, there was a strife among them. In the middle of this, a strife. among them of which one of them should be the greatest. Can you believe that? Well, I believe it. I've seen it happen many, many times. Right when everything's going good and you think, well, surely somebody's feeling this. Somebody else is feeling what I'm feeling. Somebody else is seeing the Spirit going on. And there'll be somebody that they'll allow Satan to make them unhappy of some kind. You know what he's doing? He's sifting. He sifting's what he's doing. And he's searching. How many here knows what a Bromwell flour sifter is? Yeah, you know what it is. I know you do. You brought me one. Bromwell flour sifter is the very first flour sifter ever invented. Invented back in like 1819. It was patented in 1930. The Bromwell Company is really the oldest kitchen company in the United States. Still in business 200 years later. But Bromwell made a flour sifter. Now, y'all know what that is, right? Well, just for them that don't remember. This is a Bromwell flour sifter. This is a small version. Now, they make one that holds 5 cups, which I was looking for because Mama used to have one. It rusted out, and now we've got this one. So this one only holds 3 cups, but the 5-cup one's bigger. This is a flour sifter. And when you're making things and you want that fine flour and you don't want anything in it that's going to mess anything up, you put it down in here, you throw that flour down in here, and you start doing this. And it starts sifting that flour. And that flour turns into this little fine, almost powder substance, almost like baby powder. And you can use that and you can spread it over the top of your biscuits. Or you can make things with it. It makes them more fluffy and everything like that. And this is a wonderful little tool. And I know that that's not what the Lord's referring to as a Bromwell flour sifter. I understand that. All right? I've been to seminary. I know what this sifting is. You know, I know it's the fan and the wheat and the chaff and the wheat and all that. I know that. But it's the same idea that we have here of what it does when something gets sifted. It turns it into something that it wasn't before. Before, this flour was more bulky. It had substance to it. It was thick. But now, after you sift this stuff for a while, it's very fine and powdery. It's been broken down. It's been separated. It's no longer the same that it once was. And that's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to make you what you wouldn't once were. He wants to make you into something different, something disgusting. He wants to take your testimony and he wants to put it in the sifter. And boy, he wants to rip that testimony up and he wants to grind it up like fine powder and he wants to change you. He wants the world to see you all sifted up. That's what he desires. That's why the Bible says he desires you, Peter. He wants to sift you. He wants to sift you like wheat. Over in Amos 9:9, the Bible describes the sifting process. It says, "For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations like a corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." We know what a sieve is. That's the thing that's got holes in it. You put something in, you start booing around, and then it drops out the stuff and keeps the good stuff. A lot of people, when they're panning for gold, they'll use a gold sieve. They'll go down the creek, and they'll dig it down in there, and they'll do it like this, and let all the things run off till they find gold in that pan. Well, that's what Satan desires to do to you. The Lord Jesus also has a sifting process. We read it right there. God, he's speaking to the nation of Israel right there of how he's going to sift them. It's going to be a great separation there. But Satan also has a sifting process that he wants to separate us. And Satan hates you. I've already said it. He hates you. He is your enemy. He's your arch enemy. Over in 1 Peter 5:8-11, the Bible says, and by the way, notice that's 1 Peter. Who we've been talking about? Who got sifted? Who was it that Jesus came to and told him this? It's Peter. Peter learned a lesson, didn't he?
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.